Performance, USA. The greatest entertainers in America as requested by you, the men and women in the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week till you're home from the hospitals and back from over there. Hiya, gang. This is Howard Beatry. Aiming another Command Performance your way. 30 minutes of top talent and tune. Catch it up on some of the mail orders you send to us, care of Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. And tonight, we latched on to a wow of a hostess. It's the beauty for whom your letters yell. The ever-lovely Linda Gardell.
Thanks a lot, Howard. And hi there, gang.
Gosh, Linda, it's a treat to be doing this show with you. Oh, because you're beautiful. Oh, you're wonderful. You're superb.
Now, Howard, you're only saying that to get on the right side of me.
Honey, any side of you is the right side. Oh, Linda, you must be glad to see me. So why don't you give me a warm, friendly kiss, huh?
Well, frankly, Howard, I only kiss men in the movies.
Oh, darn. Can't blame it all. I wish I were a movie star.
Well, Howard, if you could be a movie star, which one would you like to be?
Well, I'd like to be Linda Darnell.
You'd like to be me? Well, why?
Because then I'd get to kiss that desirable Howard Petrie.
Well, Howard, listen, suppose you go brood about that for a while, and we'll start filling some requests here. Now, we have a group coming up that's been ordered back for encores by customers all over the world. Customers like T5, Warren Dahl, Muff McKenzie, and loads of others. And, well, this group's been pretty busy, what with making Capitol Records, appearing at the Ranch Hotel in Elko, making a picture called It's a Great Feeling, and recording soundtrack for Young Man with a Horn. But we finally caught them with a few minutes to spare, and here they are, the Ernie Felice Quartet.
Brushed up on your kissing since we were kissing last. You're smoothing with your loving, yes, you're really learning fast. Are you kissing someone else, dear? Now don't you tell a lie. 'Cause if you're kissing someone else, I'm kissing you goodbye. Oh, once you were so timid, as shy as you could be. But I can't say the same today, you're smarter now than me. Are you kissing someone else, dear? Now don't you tell a lie. 'Cause if you're kissing someone else, I'm kissing you goodbye. Why, honey, you've got it down so pat. You close your eyes and make with those sighs. Why, I never taught you that. Are you kissing someone else, dear? Now, don't you tell a lie. 'Cause if you're kissing someone else, I'm kissing you goodbye. The first time that I kissed you, why, baby, you blushed beneath your hat. But now you squeeze and whisper, please. Why, I never taught you that. Are you kissing someone else, dear? Now don't you tell a lie. 'Cause if you're kissing someone else, I'm kissing you goodbye.
I hope you all can come back again very soon. Well, right now, gang, here's another fine treat. Our good friend and your favorite lecturer on the cultures and mores of civilization, the man with the lush brush on top of his mush, the wonderful fella, Gary Moore.
Thank you very much. Hello, Linda, my little cupcake.
Hello, Gary, my little Boston cream pie.
My nectar-dripping sugar plum.
My sugar-sweet avocado.
My peach.
My honey pot. Well?
Anyone for Bromo Seltzer? Linda, my little frame house, and I call you frame house because I'd love to get you plastered. That's a dirty laugh. Linda, tonight I plan to lecture on my family's great invention.
Inventions? Why, Gary, I didn't know you came from a family of inventors.
Why, heavens to Elizabeth, Linda. You haven't heard of my Irish cousin, Stew Meat O'More?
Stew Meat O'More?
Fine broth of a boy. Oh, that's a joke, isn't it? I didn't recognize you. Glad to see you. It was Stew Meat who thought of feeding his chickens powdered aluminum.
Well, why would anyone feed chickens powdered aluminum?
That's so she'll get eggs with zippers. Nothing. Then... my other uncle, Uncle Stickitmore, he invented the world's strongest... That's his name. Uncle Stickitmore. We had a quiz program called Take It and Stuff It. It was a very nice... saying, my Uncle Stickitmore invented the world's strongest glue. This was the strongest glue in the world. It was made out of dead fish and decomposed cabbage.
Really? Well, how's your uncle doing?
I don't know. I can't get close enough to him to find out. But the biggest genius in my family, the one that topped them all, Linda, was Casanova Moore. For he invented something that has since become the very backbone of our civilization. It was my great-great-great-great-grandfather who first invented the kiss. No sense in your hanging around, madam. My great-grandfather's been dead 200 years.
So what? No man's perfect.
And thank you, Margaret O'Brien.
Casanova Moore invented the kiss, huh? Well, Gary, you tell us about it. And as you speak, I shall wrap a rope around my neck and hang on every word.
Thank you. Well, friends, Casanova Moore was born in the year 1702. And up to that time, the kiss had never been thought of. In order to show their love in those days, couples engaged in a form of affection called dipple-dipling. Sounds like fun, doesn't it? Dipple-diping. Now, to dipple-dipe, a man put his arm around his girl, gently stroked her lovely hair, looked tenderly into her eyes, then slapped her in the face with a wet herring. Yes, every night, Casanova's sweetheart would raise her little face to his and say,
"So, Casanova, before you leave me, give me just one more dipple-dipe."
Very well, my dearest.
Oh, Casanova, the boneless kind.
First time I ever saw a dehydrated dame. Look at that. Come on, Emma, let's just get a look at that dress. Like she missed the payment and Adrian took back the shoulder. Where was I? The boneless kind, yeah. But somehow, the more Casanova dipple-dipe, the less it seemed like the fulfillment of love's young dreams. So then and there, he determined to invent some new kind of lovemaking. And his first invention he called... schmooze-crofting. Now, schmooze-crofting was a terribly daring idea. The boy and girl would sit on the Davenport, turn out the lights, and then whisper into each other's ears, "Artie Shaw." But tiring of this, he tried another idea. And this he called... quack noodling. Now, quack noodling was really the most passionate form of lovemaking of them all. The boy wouldn't just sit with his girl twiddling his thumbs. Oh, no. He took off his shoes and twiddled his toes. But the world wasn't ready for Casanova's inventions. So to keep body and soul together, he took a job in a local factory as a pickle taster. And after tasting pickles, that's possible. And after tasting pickles for 3 years, one day he turned to the girl at the next bench and he said, "Come here a minute, Linda."
"What is it, Casanova?"
Sounds exactly like an old sponsor of mine.
Linda, there is only one pickle left, and I want to get home to my experiments. Let's taste this last pickle together.
All right, you start at one end, and I'll start at the other.
Little did Casanova know that his lifelong ambition was about to be realized. Faster and faster, they ate toward the center of the pickle. closer and closer until finally Casanova bit past his half and... climbing down from the chandelier... Casanova knew that this was what he'd been looking for. He had invented the kiss. So bounding out of the pickle factory, he dashed down the street, kissing every girl he met up with.
I beg your pardon, are you sure you have the right party?
Realizing he was wasting his time with the little man, Casanova decided to publicize his idea by taking it to a famous man, the famous Sultan, Hassan Ben Fraisen. Confronting the Sultan, Casanova said, "Sultan, you've diplodiped 600 wives, you've schmuck-crofted 1,200 girlfriends, and you've got 2,700 children. How do you feel?"
"I'm pooped."
Now, here was Casanova's chance. Quickly, he said, "Your Majesty, I have invented a thing called the kiss. Try it once on a female and see what it does to you." So the Sultan grabbed a wife, puckered up, and... "Well, Sultan, how do you feel now?"
"Young in springtime, am I?"
And so, with such endorsement, the kiss took its rightful place in the world's way of living. I'm proud to say that I have inherited my uncle's proficiency in the art. But just the other day, as I was walking down the street, a man looked at me and I distinctly heard him say,
"Boy, get a load of that kisser."
That was a marvelous lecture, Garrison. We'll see you later. Hey, guys and gals, you tell us that once in a while you get hungry for the sound of a real baritone-type voice. And we have a great one for you tonight. The voice comes with a very handsome young man that you've heard on Columbia Records, on his own radio show, and in the concerts beamed to you from the Hollywood Bowl. And here he is on your own show, Bob Carroll.
Thank you very much. Well, Linda, I'd like to dig right into a copy of a song from Cole Porter's Kiss Me, Kate, So in Love. And this is for PFC J.L. Nasser and for all the Lovelorn listeners up around Ketchikan. Maestro Pierre, s'il vous plaît.
Delirious when I knew. desert me.
I know something exciting. Just last week, all the movie studios got together and took a big poll of the theater goers. They asked the all-important question, what would you like to see most at your neighborhood theater?
And the answer was...
more butter and a popcorn!
That's R. Petrie who said that.
Wonderful guy.
This poll also showed that movies are continuing their trend toward the hard-boiled, two-fisted detective stories. You know, featuring those rough, tough guys who drink two quarts of liquor in every reel, they kiss every girl they meet.
Yes, and they're always getting their brains beat up.
Precisely. So now, if Howard will announce this production, Linda, you and I will show the gang what we mean.
Okay, but listen, Howard, put some oomph into this, will you? Do it the way they would on, say, well, say, suspense.
Suspense, all right.
Well, say it!
Suspense. Friends, this is a story filled with intrigue, suspense, hate, lust, greed, jealousy, suicide, thievery, murder.
Just plain Bill. Plain Bill.
Kindling drama, the kind of production you listeners in Okinawa could see every day if you were back here.
A typical Gary Moore production?
A drama well calculated to keep you in... Okinawa!
Folks, my name is Philip Smarlow, and I'm a private eye. Now, my eye is so private, I don't wear glasses, I wear Venetian blinds. In fact, my eye is so private that if you want me to look at you, you have to knock on my eyelid before I'll open it. When I woke up this morning, I knew I must have had quite a time last night. All the lights were still on, and I was in bed with a horse. Now, this struck me as kind of funny. You see, I always turn the lights off before I go to bed. And my legs were like putty, my stomach was on fire, and my mouth tasted like the last four lines of Westbrook Pegler's column. Reaching under the pillow, I pulled out a crock of bourbon and decided to have myself an eye-opener. A short one. Well, I lay there thinking. Said to myself, I'm not happy. I'm a big shot. I have all the luxuries man could want. Beautiful women throw themselves at me. Yet I'm not happy.
Well, why not?
I don't have gripper fasteners on my shorts. Suddenly there was a knock on the door, and in my racket that could mean trouble. But I eased open the door, and there stood a gal who was a regular daddy doll. Covered with a new type of skin that feels like artificial rubber. This dreamboat looked up at me with a couple of bedroom eyes, and she murmured,
"Duh, hiya, Dopey."
This dame did something to me. I said, "What's your name, sister?"
"Fifi, merci beaucoup, oui, oui. My father was Yugoslavian."
What's What's on your mind, kid?
Well, I'm afraid of my boyfriend, H.J. Flingleblaster. Not to be confused with G.B. Flingleblaster, whom we all know and love.
A solid citizen.
Philpott, you shoot my boyfriend for me, and we'll get to split $9 million sideways.
But, Fifi, look.
Look, he's standing out there on the street now. Shoot him.
I can't do that.
Well, if you don't, what'll happen to me? What'll happen to my curvaceous, sinuous body? What'll happen to our $9 million?
I never could resist a woman's tears. I can see this is going to be a tough case, so I took a slug from the jug. Had a long drink with 1 foot in the shower. You see, I always like my water on the side. Then he walks outside. See, I walks outside. It's such a nice day, I put the top down on my car. Too bad it wasn't a convertible. I go to the office and I review my assistant detectives. You see, each time a man solves a difficult case, I give him a tiny gold star. That was 1 star O'Brien. That was 2 star Burns. 3 star Hennessy. Then I drops into a bar to think things over. As I had a triple bourbon, a beautiful blonde babe starts singing right to me. Kind of soulful-like.
My lips tell you now, but there's yes, yes in my eyes.
This dame did something to me. Then out of the blue, the bartender gives me a lead on the Flingleblaster case that takes me to a clothing store. So to cover up, I nonchalantly try on a suit. All the time, I noticed a guy trying on clothes next to me. When I left the joint, he followed me. Finally, I spun around and I barked, "Okay, wise guy, how come you've been following me?"
"I can't help it. Your suspenders are fastened to my pants."
"Wait a minute, who are you?" "I'm Philpott Smarlow, the private eye."
"Well, I'm Detective Petrie, the private stomach."
"That stomach, I don't know how he kept it private." Then things started to break, see? I got a tip from a guy to see a snooty society dame in the high-class part of Bel Air. So I trots out there and I turns the charm on the broad over a couple of shots of bourbon. I talked real pretty to her. She spelled nothing but class as she looked up at me with a couple of dreamy eyes and cooed,
"Hey, your father wears underwear."
This dame did something to me. So I drops her like a hot potato and heads back for my office. But all the time I'm wondering about Fifi Wee Wee, wondering whether she's safe. And suddenly an awful premonition hits me. I arrived at my office door with the 2 quarts of chocolate milk in front of it. I tried the latch. It was unlocked. I tried the door. It was open. I tried the chocolate milk. It was delicious. Then suddenly the door burst open.
"Oh, Mr. Smarlow, you're a great detective. You gotta make them stop picking on me. They're all picking on me, and I can't stand it, I tell you. You gotta make them stop picking on me."
"Who are you?"
"Oh, just a cute little banjo."
Then at that moment, the phone started to ring. "Hello?"
"Hello, Mr. Smarlow."
"It was my secret agent, the Brain. What have you got to report, Brain?" Had solved the case. Well, much as I hated it, I knew what had to be done. As I turned from the phone, I got a face full of brass knuckles. When I came to, I was tied to an empty jug of bourbon. Fifi,
Fifi was there bending over me. Desire in her eyes.
Marlowe, I just realized something. You shot H.J. Flingleblaster, my first true romance.
Ah, you only wanted Flingleblaster for his $9 million.
It was true love.
It was?
Yeah, I love money.
Now I'm getting even. Get set, Marlowe. I'm going to stab you. Strangle you. Hit you with this pipe. And now, Marlowe, I'm going to shoot you in the heart.
You know, this dame really did something for me.
Wonderful, Gary. That was a marvelous last performance on tonight's command. Stacked into the crowded package, we had Ernie Felice and his quartet, Bob D. Carroll, Howard Petrie, the acting of Bud Whittam and June Foray, and the very wonderful Gary Moore.
And ravishing Linda Darnell.
Gary?
That girl does something to me.
Gary, you going to take me home on your motorcycle?
Oh, no, sir. No more rides for girls on my motorcycle. Last night I took one for a ride. We parked behind a billboard.
And?
I got arrested for impersonating an officer.
Well, gang, thanks a lot for inviting us in.
Yeah, lots of luck. You hear me? Good night.
Howard Petrie speaking. This program is arranged with the aid of the Hollywood Coordinating Committee. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.